You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Indeed, indeed. Writer, you write for things, you're a broadcaster, you're DJ. A DJ. What else is there on the list, man?
Oh, look, you know, you when you have a long enough life, you give everything a go, you know?
That's what we like to hear. It's so exciting to have you here in person because usually we do this over the phone.
Yeah, and this is a lot better.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure.
Substantially better.
And it's a really cool subject matter for today. We're talking about DJ Philippa, who I wasn't aware of DJ Philippa's work before this, so this is super cool.
You know what's interesting about this is, you know, for a percentage of people listening, this is new information, and for a percentage of people listening, it's like, oh, what took you guys so long?
I wasn't born. It's so epic. It seems like she had an amazing life, and your piece really goes straight from the start and all the way through. And I think for any young artist or creative coming up in New Zealand, I think it's such an important piece to read.
I mean, Philippa is a really interesting character. You know, Philippa McIntyre, originally hailing from Whanganui and Nelson, you know, the daughter of a classical music teacher, a working class Irish farmer, a nerd, you know, ostracized, bullied, lived in the wrong part of town. You know, can you imagine that? Like, it's like you're being made fun of because you live in the wrong part of town. You know, some people will relate to that, some people really won't.
Yeah, true that.
You know, so what do? You know, you fall in love with music, you fall in love with literature, words. You develop your skills. You know, she became a competent pianist and vocalist. She excelled in the music space by the time you're a teenager, living in Nelson and Te Waipounamu. Classical music gives way to post-punk, grunge, alternative rock. You know, like she said, I fell in love with The Cure, The Pixies, Sonic Youth, The Stone Roses. Outside of school, she'd even do a radio show on a community station. I think it was Fresh FM. She couldn't remember the name. We're pretty sure it's Fresh FM. Fresh FM's still outside. She'd go shopping at Everyman Records. That's a real institutional Nelson record store no one remembers anymore.
Yeah.
These days, if you're in Nelson, you want to get records, you go to Family Jewels Records and you buy from Grant Smithies. After school, she moves to Christchurch. Wasn't quite for her at uni. Turns up in Wellington. Starts going out at this bar called Hole in the Wall. These days, Hole in the Wall is Valhalla.
Hallowed halls.
Now, this place, Hole in the Wall, which is now Valhalla, in the late 60s and 70s, it was a space called the Purple Onion. The Purple Onion was one of the first drag clubs in Aotearoa. The owners were this couple, this Samoan drag dancer Parsi and his Australian wife Anita. They came back from Sydney where they'd torn up the scene. They started this venue. They had their kids in there, and their kids grew up and became like DJs and producers. It's a story for another time.
That is wicked, man. And this is what, so that would have been late 80s, like, going to the 90s?
Well, that was what I just described. That was in the 70s.
Whoa.
By the time we get to Philippa in there, it's in the 90s. It's a new venue called Hole in the Wall. It's run by a guy called Tim Ward, who set up venues in Wellington like the Matterhorn, San Francisco Bathhouse,
iconic
now San
venues.
Fran. Yeah, this guy, all these bands doing all this stuff. You know, she's loving it. She's there every night. Finding friends, you know, starting to make friends, connections, community. Makes friends with a couple of girls who start taking her to warehouse raves. Wellington in the mid-90s, getting into jungle, techno, all of this, you know, loving it. And then one New Year's Eve, she goes to see this German duo called Hardfloor play at this really cool club. They do some stuff, you know, they're having a real fun night and wanders into the side room and these two DJs playing soulful deep house. And she's just like, this is what I want to do with my life.
Man, because when I read that,
I want to play house music.
I believe the words that she used was spiritual experience. And I think I can so relate to that, being a nerd and then like hearing soulful house music and being like, this is it. Like, this is life.
Yeah, well, you know, you start listening to, when you listen to really good house, really good soulful house, gospel house, all of that, if you've listened to soul music prior, you know, I remember talking to the American artist Channel Tress about this, about like growing up on Marvin Gaye and all of that, and then getting into house and being like, oh, it's the same thing.
It's yeah, 100%.
It's the same thing. You know, she starts buying 12 inches. You know, she's getting into the Chicago sound, the French touch sound from Paris. Makes friends who help her learn how to DJ. You know, it's all building up. Moves up to Auckland. gets a job at one of the really good dance music record stores of the era, BPM Records. Works with people like Greg Churchill, who's a really important early like New Zealand house DJ and producer, who was, before that, he was an important early hip-hop DJ in Christchurch. But he ended up in Auckland, like, playing house. People like Nick D, who... Yeah, you guys know who Nick D is. You know, yeah. And people like Jeff Wright, a.k.a. DJ Pressure, who was one of the founders of the drum and bass movement in Auckland. And store was owned by Simon Grigg, founder of Audio Culture.
Yes.
So she's really in this whole thing of the record store culture. You know, people coming in, asking for records, taking recommendations, all the DJs, all around all that. But then at the same time, the people she's living with, they launch a magazine that is called Remix. And I mean, what Remix is now is very different to what it was then.
I did a double take when I read that because I was like, the same Remix? And then I saw you like mention this, you talk about this, how it changed. What was Remix originally?
Well, I mean, you would go through and there'd be columns about what was happening in the music scenes in different parts of the country, and there'd be reviews of new dance music. It was a fashion music magazine that also had a dance music focus.
Love that.
And, you know, it very quickly evolved into, like, the behemoth thing. They were one of the first magazines in Aotearoa and Te Waipanamu who would put mixed CDs. They put CDs on the cover. Yeah. There's this whole period of time where people would do it. And for the second mix CD, they got her to do it. So she did this mix that, you know, went out all around the country.
Yeah.
Suddenly all these people were like, man, this is great. Do you want to come in a, do you want to come play in Palmy? Do you want to come and play in Gisborne? Do you want to come play in Invercargill? And just, she was able to evolve that into this touring network. This is a thing, you know, while the scene was progressing and developing in the cities, you know, she was one of the people in the early 2000s who was on the road bringing it to, like, smaller towns and rural regions.
Man.
You know, and at the peak of what she was doing, there were about 15 venues around the country that she was regularly playing at.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's very different. It's very different from
to
now.
The scene right now.
It's a very different time, and there's so many factors and things we could talk about, like pre-smartphones, no distractions on the dance floor.
Just people
less options.
Dancing, shaking ass. I love it. I love it so much. Should we play one of these songs?
Yeah, so we've got, so she's a producer as well these days. We've got three songs. What do you got queued up?
First one's Let Me Know, the radio edit.
Okay, so this is one of the, this is from 2019, I believe, from when she was beginning to announce herself to the world as a producer. Let's give it a spin.
This is Philippa, Let Me Know. This Harsi tune you're listening to, this is Philippa, Better World. Damn right, you're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM. We have the one and only Martin Pepper in the studio today. What a treat. And we're talking about the work of DJ Philippa, not only a DJ, a producer. We've been nerding out in the studio, and it's one of my favorite parts of Martin's article. He talks about Philippa's kind of origins as a nerd too. And all great DJs are nerds, right?
Look, I mean, it's not just DJs, it's MCs as well. You know, put all those words together. You know, make
double
all those
entendres,
beats, steal
man.
Those samples. Oh my God.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. One of my favorite parts of this article is the whole move to Berlin thing. And it was so refreshing to see someone talk about making a big leap from New Zealand as a creative and having these ideas that will just continue on and then having 3 years of struggle.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, it wasn't easy. There was a 2012 recon trip. She went to Sonar Festival in Barcelona, went to Berlin afterwards, and, you know, just had this sort of vision of, hey, maybe I should do this. She made the leap, and it was a real reality check. You know, when she left, she was a really in-demand DJ with a solid audience, and it turned out that this is Berlin, and everybody's a DJ, and you've got to pay your dues, and no one cares that you used to do 15 show tours in a small country on the other side of the world.
Damn.
But something that she was really lucky with in this is when Philippa was really developing as a DJ, one of her mentors was Roger Perry, who was one of the first... Roger Perry, like the origin story of him as a DJ is he got his first DJ gig from Russell Crowe.
What?
So Russell Crowe ran an all-ages venue on Simon Street, and, you know, he'd let people... He gave Roger this job to come in and be the DJ, like playing rock music and stuff. And Roger progressed from that to being like a club DJ and like an early hip-hop DJ playing in venues in the 80s that don't exist anymore, and eventually made his way
into
house and other types of music. And by the time they met, Roger was a manager of a nightclub called Calibre, which is where Whammy and Double Whammy and all that are now. And he had really strong standards, Roger. I mean, Roger still does have really strong standards. And he just really... There were elements of his personality that they probably found quite annoying at the time. But in Berlin, like, she realized that all of that foregrounding that Roger had given her really, like, gave her the fortitude to be able to contend with the situation. She got a job working... teaching music production, having previously like worked at Mains in Auckland, slowly started to build her production vocabulary to new levels, started making music, started releasing her own music on Bandcamp through her own label that she had set up, and just enjoyed Berlin. Like, just going out to like all the crazy like nightclubs and experiences and seeing the DJs, and expanded her influences, and some of the music that she made, there were early records that she did that connected with people. Like, a big advocate was DJ Jamie Odell, aka Jimster, from the Free Range Records label. He was interested in what she was doing. 2022, he released her EP, There's a Ghost in My Synthesizer. She started getting... Yeah, funny title, right?
I love that so much.
And she started, like, getting praised by, like, a lot of great contemporary... music media blogs, places like Dr. Rob's Ban Ban, Ton Ton, just really, really connecting with heads, you know, connecting with other labels like the London label Sloth Boogie. And she started telling her story as well, like, you know, through promoting these records, doing interviews, sharing old photos, really giving people a sense of this huge, long journey. And this led into the bookings returned. Playing in places like Ibiza, playing in London, playing parties in Berlin, the internet radio thing, all of this just slowly. Yeah. And now, like, it's at the point where, like, the production's being received well, she's getting opportunities, but then with all of that, you start going, okay, I have to find a rhythm and measure of how to manage this.
Yeah.
You know, what sort of pace is sustainable for me? You know, how do I do this in a way where, you know, I don't overextend or burnout. And I think the thing is Philippa has a really strong sense of why she wants to DJ and why she wants to make music and why she spent most of her lifetime doing it. And I mean, in some ways, these sentiments always almost have to be a little bit cheesy.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
You have to have this naivety in you. You have to have, like, found a way to not kill your inner child.
100%.
You know, that's the whole thing of like, if you were a three-year-old, you know, what would a three-year-old create? You know, that kind of thing. And the thing she said to me was, I want to be able to help people feel good about being alive and express beauty. I also want people to recognize that magic is actually a thing. The world is wondrous, mysterious, shimmery, and weird. It's hard to put in words, but I try to paint shades of shifted reality with my tracks. I feel like I was born to create music that reminds people that things will be okay and life is still worth living. You know, these sort of sentiments are, it's complicated sentiments. You know, it's like it's a hard period of time on a lot of different levels.
Yeah.
Many different issues all around the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's right. You know, people need to be able to feel like they can find some magic and beauty within their lives.
That's like no better mission statement for house music and the catharsis of house music and what those kind of being able to dance and get that out of your body.
Yeah, and that's what they were doing in Chicago in the 80s. They were going crazy.
That's epic. Well, you've got one final song for us from Philippa. This is Rainy Nights.
Yeah, this is in between. I think this is one of the records. This is one of the records which has like been like more successful on the internet.
Wicked. Right?
Yeah.
We love that. And thank you so much for joining us. You're having a big night tonight. You've got an event on. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So tonight at Whammy, we have a talk with the American writer Liz Pally, author of Mood Machine.
I heard she's really cool.
Yeah, that's what they've been saying. Liz may or may not be in the studio right now. So we're going to have a conversation about that book, Liz's forensic analysis of Spotify, what led into Spotify, different iterative phases through the Spotify story, and how it's impacted on listeners and how it's impacted on musicians. And then we're going to have a Q&A at the end to... Because, you know, there's some characters coming.
Oh, for sure. Can people still buy tickets?
Yeah, they'll be still, if people want to come along.
Like. And it's cheap as chips for what it, like the value you'll get out of this.
I think so.
Yeah, it's amazing. Thank you so much, Martin Pepperell.
No, thank you, bro.
Appreciate you. This is Rainy Nights by Philippa.
Home alone, on a rainy night like this.
This is Rainy Nights by Philippa. Listening to 95 BFM. What a pleasure to have Martin Pepper on the studio and Liz Pally too. A little bit geeked on that one. We're going to head into some news because we've got the one and only Athena locked and loaded in the studio ready to inform you. Get your brain moving. You're listening to Ratu Tuesday Drive. And that was Audio Culture.
That was
Audio Culture on 95 BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture. Iwi Waiata, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.